evening and welcome to episode 51 of the Deck Tees podcast, brought to you by LegitMTG.com. I am Erin Campbell. By now, I'm sure you guys have heard about the little bit of shakeups that have been going on over at my home site, LegitMTG. But I just want to reassure you guys that for me, it is still business as usual. And I can't think of anybody else that I would rather get down to business with than my current guest tonight. You might know him from Gathering Magic. You might know him from the Jinx Idols podcast, from any of the other shows he's done. And he's also striking out on his own with his own website, The Tangent Revolution. Hello, Tangent.
What is up?
Not much. How are you?
I am amazing. Thanks.
I get a feeling like people have been waiting for us to sort of cross paths for a while.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, I've seen enough of it being mentioned on Twitter and things like that, so... Unprovoked, too.
I know. I think you and I are going to be a really good time.
I agree. So, not to go off on a tangent already, but what it was shakeups at Legit MTG? This is, I have not been in the loop on this one. Is it anything worth talking about right now, or is this something you just wanted to gloss over?
I can certainly just break it down a little bit. Basically, my boss, Mr. Medina, has decided that he wants to step away from the game and focus on some things in his personal life. And he has indicated that it is a permanent stepping away, that it's not like a Finkel break or a Kibler break where he's going to be back in a couple of months. He has indicated he's done, and he will be selling off Legit MTG, the store, the site, to prospective buyers. And that led to other folks associated with the site to sort of want to walk away as well, and whether out of loyalty or whether they have their own things going on as well. And so some folks have stepped away from that, and that led to a slight drama bomb going off on Twitter. People were sort of pointing fingers as to what was really going on or what they thought was going on, and certain people were caught in the crossfire, and it got ugly for about a day or so. And immediately people looked at me and they were like, what's going to happen to you and what are you going to do? And I was like, well, I still have a show to record. I still have guests lined up. It's as long as I have a home, I'm cool. So
wow. Yeah. I can't believe I missed the drama. I'm a little disappointed in that, actually. And not to mention Medina walking away, he's one of the people that I consider to be a friend, and I'm pretty disappointed to hear that, to be honest with you. So
yeah, he released a farewell post yesterday afternoon, and then Heather decided that she was going to leave as well, because they sort of were in it together, and she can't really imagine a Legit without him, as we all can't, and she moved on to Gathering Magic.
Gotcha.
She made that announcement as well, and from there Twitter was just this firestorm, and it was to the point where I couldn't even really look at it yesterday. It got pretty ugly. and it was pretty messy, so I just wanted to let people know that.
Gotcha.
I'm
cool. Well, that gives me something to do after we're done here.
Just go back. Yeah, it's pretty cringeworthy. I think most of it blew over for the most part, but I just wanted to do my part to let people know that I'm all right, and I don't have any plans on leaving just yet. And I'd like to think that I'm the one constant through all the shakeups.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, he did a good job bringing you on then.
Yeah, I that's the one thing I really can't say enough about was it feels really good. I mean, I came from like a very small gaming network called the G-Kick Network, and it was very, I was kind of doing the indie thing for a while, and I didn't really have any big backing, and I was okay with that. I've never needed that to be happy. And it feels really good when somebody at his level, sort of finds you and is like, I see you, like, I got you. And you're like, what is he? It's crazy, that somebody like him would take a notice in somebody like me, and it's very humbling. And
yeah, especially when he comes to you, it's one
yeah.
thing, you say, hey, I've got this idea, and you propose it to him, but he actually sought you out, which is awesome. So.
Yeah, especially because I've always gone into what I do with a very modest attitude. Like, I always assume nobody knows who I am. I always assume I have no listeners. I assume I'm getting no downloads, and I just don't go into situations like that. So for someone like that to notice you, it's just like, holy shit. And I don't know if I would ever find anybody else like that. And I'm just anxious to see who the new owners are going to be, if they're anything like him. And if I get treated with that same level of quality, then I'll definitely stick around. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I have nothing to really freak out about yet.
I mean, that's the thing about Medina that I love so much, and that has been kind of inspiring in my opinion, is that he does things the right way that I see. It's not like he wants to reach out to people, find the new talent. He wants to promote and What was it just recently? He had the people that went to the Pro Tour, and he decided, yeah, I'll sponsor you. Yeah, he got decks for them, and he supported them in that way, and they ended up doing well. And so it promoted the site, but it also was like I think the way he goes about his business is really, really good, and that's why it's so unfortunate that he's going to be backing out, because he I think he started something good with Legit, and it was pretty cool to see. So
Yeah, I even admire the way that he sort of came out with all of this, because there were some things that happened in his personal life that he could have left out. He could have
right.
kept it very general and very, I'm just leaving. But in a way, I think he took his power back. He was like, I did some things I shouldn't have. I'm owning it. And
Gotcha.
I think if he would have kept it elusive, it would have been very easy for it to come back and have people hold it over him. Like, well, I know why you really left, and I'll tell the world. And this way, he was like, no, I'm going to tell the world myself, and I'm going to admit it, and I really respect that, because like I said, it could have gone, horribly wrong,
Right, yeah, for
so,
sure.
and that way no
Well,
one has
I'm
anything on
curious to
him.
check it out. I'll have to delve into that later.
Yeah. But needless to say, Legit is still here. Like I said, we are looking for new owners, and many of us have decided to stick around for now, and definitely don't rule us out yet.
Oh,
No.
yeah, absolutely not. That's cool.
So like I said, I've been looking forward to talking to you for a while. And the first time I got my first taste of you, Tangent, actually, was on Gathering Magic. I had just come back to the game around the time of Innistrad. You were doing the MTGO hero thing, and I'd
Right.
never seen anything like that before. And I really respected that, and that series really made me want to follow you. And I also have this really bad habit of clicking on articles where the avatar is filled with somebody cute. So I'll admit, I was like, who is that? I'm going to click on this. And then the article kept me interested.
Well, that's a good reason. I appreciate that. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, well, Medina, you can blame him for that one too. So
So tell me how that got started with you at MT, with doing the MTGO Hero series.
Well, I mean, friends of mine are KYT and Medina, and even back in the day, Smitty and things like that, and they've all at one time or another mentioned me writing for them, but I never really had anything I wanted to write about. It seems like everything's always been done, or it's not something that I've never found something. I really have to have some sort of inspiration to want to write. And Medina's column, I was like, this is a good thing. This is a good thing for new players. I loved FNM Hero. I was kind of like, I almost wish I'd gotten here first. But at the same time, I don't play FNM. I've literally never played an FNM.
Really, why is that?
Because it just doesn't fit in with my schedule. I work
Okay.
about 70 hours a week, so it's Monday through Friday. I'm not back in time to be able to do that. And because as late as it was that we started doing this, it's an hour later for me on Fridays.
Okay.
So it's just pretty much no shot at that. And MTGO has been my salvation in that way, because even if I get home late, I can catch games. And I thought, well, a lot of people, this whole going infinite thing, you don't see that like being sought after any more than you do on Magic Online. I mean, no one really, until Medina brought it up, there's not a lot of people at FNMs that are just going, man, my goal is to just go infinite. It's just that's usually they're just there to play and have fun and hopefully win. But it's rare that was an actual goal from people. But going infinite on Magic Online is like, I mean, that's the golden egg. Everyone wants to be able to do that. And so I thought, well, I wonder if I can take this idea and actually pull it off on Magic Online. And so that's basically where it came from. I mean, knowing that the challenges were going to be, for the most part, greater. I mean, there's certain aspects of FNM that can be difficult, especially if you have a really, really tough crowd at your FNM. But overall, I mean, MTGO, you're going to be coming across pros and things like that when you're trying to do it in daily events. It's just one of those things where the grind's going to be a little tougher. I think that the overall, that there's going to be a higher variance online. But there are advantages to it, like the cheapness of cards and things like that. So, you know, I unfortunately I don't have people leaving like whole stacks of cards on the table when I'm on Magic Online for me to steal from. So,
Right.
you know, but yeah. Anyway, I wanted to see if I could make it work, and so I fought through that, and in the end, I did not succeed. And I learned from it, and I made some mistakes along the way, and I kind of tried to learn from those. I did well for a little while. I was actually, you know, running a little hotter than Medina to begin with, and then he ended up pulling it out. Like when he was basically right at the end, he was pretty much on his last dime basically, and he pulled it out and ended up fighting back and basically succeeding. And I couldn't recover from my mistakes, so.
I actually felt like I was very sad to see that series end because I really felt like there was more to the story, or like there could be. And I mean, do you feel that something like that can be done, period? Or have you thought about maybe giving it another go?
Well, it actually just started again, to be honest with you. I didn't start it up on Gathering Magic because I had some changes in mind, and I didn't. When I talked to Stibbs about it originally, about starting it back up, because I mean I love that guy, he's awesome. He gave me the opportunity. He's just a cool guy, really friendly, and you know, I talked to him about it. He's like all gung ho about it, and then like the next day, some guy on Twitter was like, "Check out my new MTGO hero. Call him at mtgohero.com." And I'm like, what? And so then I went and looked at it, and he gives the credit to me and Medina and all that. But I was just like, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to start this on Gathering Magic like the day after this guy starts talking about doing this. So I told Stibbs about it, and he's like, yeah, well, that's all right, because I'd probably rather stick with paper card stuff for the most part anyway. And you know, well, if you come up with another column you want to do, then definitely let me know and we'll get you started. But I really, again, I have to have inspiration, and in paper magic, I just don't have any right now. Yeah, so I couldn't think of anything that I wanted to do. If I do, I'll talk to him about it. But eventually, you know, people, friends, Dr. Jeebus and Kevy Metal and a few other people were like, "Hey man, you started MTGO Hero. Don't worry about it. Some other guy's got the column. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be doing it better or different or whatever." And so I said, "Yeah, that's true. You know, I can just start it up." And so it's just on mtgbrodeals.com. I just started it up. It's only got one post so far, but it's going to go a different direction, I think, because, you know, in answer to your question about whether or not I think it's possible, with the rules that you're trying to adhere to, as far as the MT or the FNM hero rules, the $100 and you know all that, I don't know that it is possible on MTGO. It's just too, the competition level is so much fiercer, and you're playing against people that all have top tier decks. This isn't like you're going to be, you know, in an FNM, you're going to be grinding also against people that just have garbage and that are just trying out their home brews and things like that. So you're not going to find that in daily events on Magic Online, you know.
But
So.
at the same time, though, I do feel like, you know, MTGO is sort of the place where you will see, because the metagame is so different from paper. And I know Mr. Vigaboole, also from Gathering Magic, he does these metagame reports where he will randomly tweet, you know, decks that have, you know, top. You know, that have won daily events or whatever. And it's interesting seeing some of the decks that make the cut. Like, you know, Grixis was doing really well in daily events for a while, which you weren't seeing on paper. There were also these weird, like, mono green Yveh type builds that were really good. And even Golgari Control, that was something that started off on Magic Online and then made
Right.
its way to paper. So, you know, I understand there being a challenge there because Lord knows I can barely go, I can't really do any better than breaking even in a daily event on MTGO.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I feel like, you know, that is sort of the place where you can see these weird, cheaper in cost decks, you know, these
Right.
fringe decks, and that's really the place where they get their start.
It's true, but the problem isn't being able to see these decks win an event. It's the fact that every event costs 6 tickets, and if it took that deck 8 events to win, then or even to go 3-1 for that matter, then it's really not, in the end, you're still going to end up losing.
Right.
Like you, the one thing you can't tell when you see the results is how many times did you try and do that before you actually succeeded, you know? And don't get me wrong, though. I mean, that's where the metagame for real life starts for the most part. And you see crazy things like mono red has been insane in standard. It's not always in the top lists, but it's definitely made a huge showing for a long time. And I hardly ever see mono red in the paper game,
I see it too much. I could deal with never having to see it again. I hate red deck wins.
It's pretty bad, but at the same time, it still wins, and it's just as the same way mono red always is. If you stumble, it'll punish you. So it's kind of the way. I don't know. I love the MTGO metagame, but it also is part of the reason why it's so hard to do the FNM hero thing. Because if someone sees you do well 1 week, then chances are either other people have done well, have started using that deck, and people are metagaming against it, or people get to know you. Plus, when you put an article series out every week, then if anyone happens to be reading that, then they already know what you're playing, and that's a pretty significant advantage to those people.
True.
So there's a lot of different things, but and also I don't get promos every time I go that I can sell for, $5 or whatever. It's there's a lot of different things. I think it can be done, but I think that you have to change the rules a little bit just to make it more fair, I guess, for you.
I can definitely relate to you, Tangent, when you talk about needing inspiration for things, going back to that and wanting to be different. And I know a friend of mine, Amanda, she had started her own podcast, and one of the first guests she had on was KYT. And she did a good job with that. And then afterwards, KYT was like, well, I want to be on your show. And I was like, but you were on somebody else's show first. And, I feel like for him to do an interview immediately after that one, I feel like it'd be harder for me to bring something different to the table, or it would seem like I was copying somebody. And I get wanting to make sure that enough time has passed where that she had her experience with him, I had my experience with him, and even the guests that I have on who've been on other shows. And I try really hard to ask different questions, and it's always really important for me to bring something new to the table, because I feel like you said, it's very easy to find things that are done before. So I always want to challenge myself to do that. And if I feel like I'm being put in a corner where I'm being, unoriginal, or I can't do it, I won't do it. And I get that completely. And I feel like we don't see enough of that. I feel like there are a lot of people who are very content to just sort of, ride coattails or do the status quo. And that makes me kind of sad.
I mean, it does me too. And it's also one of those things, and you see this a lot with like pros and things. You won't hear from them for such a long time, and then all of a sudden they'll want to be on every podcast in existence because they've got something going on. And that happens not just in Magic, but in radio in general. And it makes it really difficult for shows like yours where you're trying to, you want the person on because they're going to draw a crowd or whatever, but at the same time, it's kind of been there, done that. Everyone else has already, had that, and now you're kind of just like have the leftovers basically. So, you gotta be able to find like an original idea or original way of doing things. I think you do a really good job anyway because you ask questions that other people don't, and you also are, I guess, edgier than, I mean, obviously,
Me? No.
like,
I'm a good Christian girl.
yeah, obviously, then, like, say, Roberto, who, you discussed before, Robert Martin, his interview cast is not edgy in any way, right? So that's one way where people who want a different style of interview podcast, you're going to draw that crowd.
And it's interesting that you say that because I can honestly say that I've really never had a hard time coming up with questions for people. Like I remember when TSG did his recent blitz of podcasts, and I thought it was very easy to have him on, and it really didn't take a lot of effort. And I knew that everybody else that had him on was going to try to beat the incident to death, or they were going to try to get a scoop, and maybe they would get something out of him they didn't before. And I was like, you know, let's not talk about the during of the incident. Let's not talk about before the incident. Let's talk about the after. And how he recovered from it and what he's doing now. And that was very easy for me. I think the only issue I've ever had with having people on my show is personality based, where it's, are we going to get along? Are they going to talk? And will they agree to come on? Those are really the only hurdles I face. I very rarely ever have the problem of what are we going to talk about? It's mostly, are they going to talk? Are they somebody that I would actually have a conversation with? And will they agree to do it? It's those are really the only things I have a problem with coming up with potential guests. Otherwise the rest is really easy. Like I feel kind of bad. Like, you know, when I do get praise from people assume that it's a really hard thing, and no, I just I'm using Skype, and I'm sitting in my underwear, and I'm eating gummy worms, and it just kind of does itself, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah, that's the way it should be. But well, it's 'cause you're good at what you're doing. A lot of people have to actually work at this sort of thing, you know? I mean, there's well, for instance, Scotty Mac, I don't think he always gets enough credit as an interviewer. He doesn't do enough anymore, but he used to be really good at it, you know. I hardly ever hear him do interviews anymore, but he's someone who I think always did a really good job of getting down to asking good questions and things like that. And it felt natural, but maybe he had to work at it. Maybe that's why he doesn't do that many, is because for him it was work, you know. I don't really know. It's different for everyone. Like podcasting to me comes naturally, but there are those other people that you hear that start up podcasts and you can just tell they're just sweating it. It's just like it's an endeavor every time they go through it. And I mean, you know, we all have our challenges and things.
One thing I've always admired about you is it seems like you always have multiple projects going at once. And I know just having one show can be time consuming sometimes. How do you do it? Like, how do you manage to keep it all going?
Well, one of the ways that I managed to do it is by having like multiple podcasts that almost never record. That really makes it easy. So, and then, you know, I also like to make commitments that I don't keep, and that really, I find if I don't keep my commitments, that I have more time
Oh
to do
my.
other things, you know. So it really, I mean, basically, it's hard. It's incredibly difficult anyway. I am in the community a decent amount, but not nearly as much as I'd like to be, just because my real life work is so time consuming. So it's mostly a weekend thing or a late night thing, which a lot of people, especially East Coast people, which it seems like most of the magic community is, they have a hard time like getting together or podcasting or doing whatever because they're just not willing to stay up that late. And that's why Dr. Jeebus is good with you know, whatever I'm doing, because he's up until like 4 o'clock in the morning, so, or later all the time. And yeah, I mean, most of the time though, we like even Jay, I think, is on mountain time, and he couldn't even handle my schedule. So when we were doing Public Enemies before.
Do you think the fact that you do sort of keep yourself scarce in the community makes people more interested in you? Or do you think that if you were to be a more frequent guest on shows or you were recording more often, that you wouldn't have the following that you do? Like sort of an absence makes the heart grow fonder thing?
I think that there's something to say for that for sure, that I think it's almost like a mystique that develops where even if you haven't done as much as, say, like the A team crew, just because of the fact that they've been done a weekly episode forever, it still makes people go, oh yeah, that guy, you know, Tangent. Yeah, I want to hear from him or whatever, because they don't hear from me all the time, and so it's kind of a, I guess, a nice treat when they do. But at the same time, you can only do that for so long. I've had a couple times where I disappeared from the community for a time, and you always feel that when you come back, like you've lost a little bit of what you've gained, And so it's kind of, you have to really, I guess, find a happy medium there where you give as much as you can, but don't overdo it because then you're Chris Lansdale.
Yeah, that's definitely something I've worried about too, where it's like, I'm always so grateful for the opportunity to be on people's shows. And whenever anybody asks me, I'm still such a fangirl when it comes to certain shows. So like, for example,
Right.
last night I was supposed to record Tap and Sack with my good friend Houston. We'd planned that about
Awesome.
a week in advance, and
Yeah.
we were due to record at about 9:30 my time. And I was about to take a nap because it was a little bit later for me. And one of the guys from Monday Night Magic was like, "You want to come on Monday Night Magic?" And it's like,
Nice.
how do you say no to that? So there's that little part of me that's like, oh my God, I would love to. And I kind of queened out a little bit. And then after we were done, I recorded, and I recorded one into the other. So no sooner had I
Right.
hung up the call from Monday Night Magic than I was recording with Houston. And then when I got up this morning, I was like, God, these episodes are going to come out around the same time, and people are going to be like, oh, it's that bitch again. And then after that, I was like, maybe I should have spread them out a little bit. Like, I do worry about people getting sick of me. I do worry about overexposure, but I don't really, I don't know how to, I don't know, maybe I could stand to temper that a little more, but I don't
No,
know.
you have to enjoy it when, I mean, when you're hot, you kind of roll with it a little bit. Like
Yeah.
when MTGO Hero first came out, I was on Wizard Rap Radio, which is a podcast I wish would come back because I love those guys. The A Team and Monday Night Magic all within like 2 days of one another. And then I also got an interview from what's his name? Chris from Popper to the People. He had like a MTG cast interview podcast where he interviewed members from the MTG cast community. And that was cool, but those all came out like the same week or within 2 weeks of one another. And so it was just, I mean, I was too much for myself at that point in time. I didn't want to hear my own voice anymore. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. It goes in spurts though, unless you're doing it like every week, you're just constantly trying to find some podcast to be on, then, you roll with it when you get the opportunities, and it's cool and people appreciate it. And it also gets you out there so that if you do disappear for a little while, you can come back and be on another podcast and people will be like, oh yeah, this person.
Well, I would also like to think that it helps that I'm not coming across as calculated. Like, it's not like I'm on these shows
No.
strictly to promote myself, or, I mean, it's
Right,
definitely
right.
a perk, but it's like I really am going on these shows because I love them. Like,
Yeah,
I love
absolutely.
hanging out with Houston, and he was nice enough to come on my show, and I was happy to return the favor. And, Monday Night Magic, I was such a fangirl about, and that was a lot of fun. And then, even doing Kevi Mehta, it was just like, again, going back to what I said earlier, where a show bigger than yours notices you.
Right.
It's an honor to do it. It's not like I'm going into it with an agenda. It's just, oh my God, I get to hang out with these guys. And I'd like to think that that makes it a little easier to digest when I am doing show after show after show after show. And it's not like, calculated or planned or anything like that.
No, and I think it's cool. I mean, like, okay, you mentioned Houston, and I've tried to be on that show so many times just because, I think the guy's awesome and he wants me on. And one time I had to bail, the next time he had to bail, our times just don't match up, It's the same with Heavy Meta. I mean, I give them a hard time like almost every week about, you guys just don't want me on that cast, but I'm just messing with them because realistically, I know that it's my schedule that's the problem, They originally wanted me as one of the co-hosts on that cast, but I just can't match up with Maddie's schedule at all. He's a, like, I don't even know, East Coaster or something, and crashes too early for me, so.
Now, it's interesting because I'd always thought of you as sort of a mercenary tangent where I had seen you on other people's shows and other websites, but you really didn't have like a home base of your own. And then I noticed that you recently started a site called The Revolution. What made you
Right.
finally decide to hunker down and do your own thing?
Well, I guess from the beginning, like when I first started, it was on Mana Screwed Podcast. That was like my baby in the beginning, way back, and before LR and A Team and everything. And back then, I wanted to like get to the Pro Tour and things like that. All these quasi unrealistic dreams, and I was like, yeah, One day I just kind of woke up and I was like, I want to make the community a better place, but I wasn't sure how to do that. And so I was always looking for inspiration. And one day I realized that one of the ways that I think you can make the community a better place is just by giving people access to the things that they're looking for. So I wanted to make sure that I pulled together like all the best sites, in my opinion, all the best like content and resources for people that are trying to look for whatever. I mean, if you want to go to MTGO, you don't want to type MTGO into a Google search engine and try and weed through all that garbage. You want to be able to find the best MTGO sites like right there. And so, my list of links is it grows. I always try and get information from people about what their favorite sites are, what they use, what there's podcast resources and MTGO and just regular MTG resources, and it'll be actually like growing as far as those resources go. It'll expand into like more categories of things so people can figure out exactly what they're looking for even more. But on top of that, I wanted to kind of just also say, look, I need to weed through the bullshit. As you know, I know that you've kind of question what I mean by that, the bullshit. I want to be able to weed through the garbage that's out there. I don't want to be just putting a prose article up to kiss his ass. That's one thing that drives me crazy in the community is the fact that just because Patrick Chapin says something, everyone believes that they should kiss his ass about it. And that's not the way that things should work. I mean, the only people that have signed my playmat are people that I know. I mean, like Tom from Monday Night Magic, formerly of Monday Night Magic, Marshall and Joey Pasco and people that I actually know in the community. Those people are the people that I like want. I want their autographs because I consider them to be friends in the community. Like I'm not a hero worship kind of person, so I don't look to, maybe LSV, if he was like hanging out, I'd kind of he'd be the closest thing because he's really what made me want to get more competitive in the community. And I respect what he's done with Channel Fireball and everything, but in general, I don't just like try and support someone because they're popular. I'm not like KYT has done a lot of that with Flores. Whether Flores is deserving of certain things or not, he always gets a ton of credit from like the A-Team guys because they love Flores, And I'm not that way. Like, I want to be able to find out what's good, what's real, no ass kissing involved, just find out the truth out there and get it to people.
I think it also takes a real fan to point out when you do something wrong too. Like, I mean, if I like there are people whose work I enjoy, and I'll admit that maybe they've made mistakes in their personal life, or maybe they've made mistakes. Like when the Jackie Lee DQ thing happened, there were people that loved her, but there were people that were like, I'm a little disappointed by this. I still love you, I still love your articles, but this kind of bummed me out a little bit. Or sometimes you do have that person where they have a string of really good articles and they're usually your go-to person, but maybe they have an off week and you're like, your article really didn't keep me this week. And I think that's sort of the sign of a true fan rather than sort of that blind loyalty. And I have people like that with me. I have people that are like, this episode wasn't your strongest, and that's okay. They're not all good. And I respect that more than just sort of the slavering, oh my God, I love everything about you. It's like, you probably shouldn't. Like, and I think that I don't, and I'm like that, and it's funny because I feel like there's this weird, like when I was on Heavy Meta and I had made the comment about Robert Martin, and people, it seems like there's this weird unspoken code where if you're a blogger, you have to love every blog. And if you're a podcaster, you have to love every podcast. And the idea that you would say otherwise is very controversial to people. And I never meant anything that I said personally. Like if I saw Robert Martin in person, I wouldn't spit on the guy. I wouldn't not play with him. I wouldn't not eat dinner with him or whatever. I just don't care for his show. And he may not care for mine, and that's okay. I just find it really odd that people, that we're under this weird contract where we have to all like each other's work. And I think there's nothing wrong with saying that, and as long as it's worded well, or as long as you're able to separate the two. And that's just something I've never understood, why people have this weird we're all in it together mentality, because we're not. And that's okay. And I don't get that.
No, I don't get that aspect of things either. I will say that, there's a certain group of us that are all kind of like bros, and we try and support each other, but you can support each other and still give like, helpful criticisms about things, or still say, look, if I'm making garbage, I want to know it's garbage. I'll usually tell you it's garbage before you tell me.
Right.
But that's the point. Like, I want to know that it's garbage. I don't want you to pretend like you love something if it sucks. And with these other people, like with Robert Martin and stuff, you definitely don't have to like his stuff, and he doesn't have to like your stuff. But you're talking about, a group of people that are kind of on a similar level, I guess. Whereas like, I have even more of a problem when we're all expected to like a pro stuff, but that pro then can look down on you or talk down to you because you're not on their level. And that drives me crazy too.
Yeah, my friend had an incident with Cedric Phillips actually, where Cedric's been getting some criticism lately for being too involved in his posts. Like people feel that when you're an editor, you should be more behind the
Oh
scenes. Like you shouldn't
yeah,
be
that's just
you shouldn't be constantly adding little notes to articles. Like if you have something to say, you should maybe start your own blog or maybe save it for a podcast or whatever. And one of my friends had written him an email, and I'll admit it probably wasn't worded the best. I mean, she wasn't shitty about it, but she was just more like, dude, I'm kind of over you. Like, could you not, you know? And Cedric, I think I actually saved the email actually, and he said something to the effect of, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way, but the people who matter to me have no problem with it, so I'm going to keep going. Basically saying that her, the reader, her, the customer didn't matter. And I was just like, did you just tell like a reader they don't matter to you? That because they're not your boss, because they're not your peer, they don't matter to you. And again, there's ways he could have worded that that were a little better, but I was completely taken aback by that, where I was like, did you just, oh, you did. Like I was horrified. And the fact that he's all the way up here, you know, if I make the hand gesture for up here, and he basically put her down
I totally
here.
see it, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, "How? I don't get that." And he totally did that. And that kind of made him lose some points in my eyes.
Yeah, well, see, and the problem would be is I have kind of a negative look on a majority of the people out there, hence like public enemies and things like that, in the sense that I think that there's a lot more of that going on that you just don't hear, right? Like Cedric is the one. I guess I could give him credit for the fact that he just came right out and said it, right? Like he said what other people think and just don't say. I'd rather be that person than be the person who's just like, oh no, this is, yeah, I totally understand what you're saying, but in reality, I'm just going, oh, you're an idiot, and I have no interest in what you're saying, right?
But I think
So.
it's different when it comes from somebody like you or I, where we're not official. We don't have titles behind us. We don't
Right.
have, you know, we're sort of rebels in our own right. But I think once you have a respectable position, like you are the editor of a website, a very big website, at that point, I think you need to spin things a little better, or you need to take those things into consideration. I think if it were you
You
or
do.
I, you know,
You
you, yeah.
need to take them into consideration, but if you're not going to take them into consideration, it's better to own it than it is to pretend like you are.
I
You know, I
suppose.
like, I mean, to me, that's the way I feel. Like, I'd rather have someone being straight up with me about something than to basically just totally blow me off or stab me in the back or whatever. You know, just like someone who comes at you head on is a lot more respectable than the person who just kills you behind your back. I mean, and that's like, I don't agree with what he said, and I think he's in a position where he can't be thinking that way and can't be saying that, but I still respect it more than someone who's just basically going to blow you off. I mean, and also he answered the with a response,
He did.
which half the time you can't even get from those people because you're not important enough to,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
I mean,
that's.
that's the point. Like, I this is nothing to do with him in particular. Like, I don't he's one of the people I don't really talk to, so I don't know anything about him personally. But I could see him probably being a jerk, but I could see a lot of these people being a jerk. At least he basically openly admitted he was a jerk.
Essentially, so there's a little bit of respect
Yeah,
there.
a little bit. I mean, that's why I love Dr. Jeebus when everyone else doesn't, because Jeebus openly says he's a jerk, and the funny thing about him is he's a lot less of a jerk than he says he is. I've
had
Right,
people
then.
say that about me. I've definitely had that compliment, if you will, thrown at me. Like I, for some reason, I come off as intimidating, I guess, or I come off as hard. And I
Right.
know people at my LGS, I'll admit, a lot of them don't care for me. But people have said that, sort of like what you said, where her bark is worse than her bite, or once you sort of get through that veneer, you're fine.
Yeah.
And I think that makes us good people. Like I think to hear that is not something to be worried about, you know?
No, I think it's a really good thing. I think it's not, the point is, or the thing about that is, it keeps the people away from you that shouldn't be there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I think that that's the way that I am too. Like I'll bark a lot too, and sometimes I'll bite, but for the most part, the people that don't have any reason to worry about me are the ones that don't.
Right. And
Like,
it's, And it's funny because I've been podcasting for a while, and even before that, I did a World of Warcraft podcast. And being a woman podcaster, you tend to attract some very odd listeners. And I always used to hear these stories of like, guys are like soliciting me, and they're sending me these awful pictures. And I'm like, nope, my inbox is empty. And people were like, why do you think that is? And I was like, because I wouldn't stand for that. Like, I would be, I would be shaming them.
Right.
I'd be keeping those pictures, of course, because I'm down like that. But I think when you put it out there that you're just not like what you're when you're very clear about how you roll and what you will deal with and what you won't, people know better than to try things with you.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like I don't get a lot of the riffraff that other people do because they know people know that they're either not going to do anything about it or they know that it offends them. I'll come for you. I have no problem with that. And I feel like that makes my life a little easier.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely gives you some credit in my book anyway. That's a pretty cool way of being. I mean, that's the only way to be, in my opinion.
I'm so glad we're in the same boat with
Well,
that.
I mean, it's one of the things that's kind of funny, like even like when I started Man is Screwed, and I don't know if you know this or not, but a few episodes into Man is Screwed, Robert ended up joining me. That's where I know him
I
from
didn't know
to
that.
begin with. And the thing is, he was completely opposite my personality. But what ended up happening was that worked. Like the kind of personality you're talking about that you are, the kind of personality that I am, that Jeebus is, the one of the things that's interesting about it is how well it works with someone who is completely opposite of
Oh,
that.
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so yeah, it ended up making for a pretty decent group. I guess you could say the same thing about like Joey Pasco and Big Head Joe from like YoMTG Taps and things like that. They were pretty different guys, but they made a pretty good team, I guess, you know. And they're that's a more mellow level, but I'm just saying like in general that's kind of the way it works. Jay Boosh and anyone, you know. I mean, that's kind of the and Maddie and Kevy, yeah, that's why I like that show so much, is because those two, Maddie will try and act like the party guy all the time, but even if he is that, he doesn't put that on the show. You know, he's the KYT of the show or some, or the maybe the Scotty Mac of the show, whereas Kevy's just crazy. So,
But I love that about Kevy though. Like Kevy's
oh,
just
I love him.
down, where it's like I have so much respect for that. And it's like, I wish and I feel like people like that are a breath of fresh air. And when you're listening to shows and every show is full of, these complacent folks and these dare I say it, plastic folks, people like that are a breath of fresh air. And that was something I dealt with in my early podcasting career was I was and even my blogging career when I was doing the World of Warcraft thing is I would get all these people coming up to me and they would be like, you would be so much bigger if you just didn't do this, or if you just wouldn't say this, you could be writing
Oh,
for this
God.
site. And it's like, yeah, maybe I could be at 3,000 followers by now, or maybe I could be, making money on a blog or whatever. But what if it's not something I love to do, if I have to change who I am for that, that's not fun. And I would rather have somebody listen to my show for who I am and be like, God, you're so different than what's out there, than just have you be like, yeah, you're just another news girl that I
Yeah,
listen to.
exactly. Right.
I love the people that think that of me, and that makes me want to stay the way that I am. And it's just just sticking with what you're good at and not changing. So.
Right. No, I completely agree, and it's the reason why, sometimes there's people that are niche people like we are, where we fit into a certain crowd. I mean, we're different so we're not like, like everyone else in a certain crowd. But I mean, well, there's a certain crowd that will listen to us and that be follow us. And there are other people like, again, like Robert, going back to him again, he's pretty much listened to by almost everyone that's interested in that, in magic and things, because he doesn't cross any lines. And I'm not that way. Like I, and it's just not the way that I am, and I wouldn't want to be. I would never be on Star City Games because I'm not going to stop being me. But and I know you and I had a little bit of a discussion on this before, but like he is that way. Like that's what he was made to be like, because he's never been edgy. That's he's the guy that should be on Star City Games or should be on the Mothership or whatever. I'm not that way and never could ever stop being me for someone else. And if I did stop being me, then I wouldn't be Tangent anymore. But I'd just be, like you said, I'd just be some guy that writes a column or whatever.
Another thing I find really interesting about your image, Tangent, is you seem to keep a pretty low profile online. Like, we don't really know your real name. We have very few pictures of you to go on. What made you decide that you wanted to go this route as opposed to being a bit more public or a bit more personal?
It started long before getting into the magic community. I've been Tangent for a decade at least. I've done podcasting outside of the magic community. I was doing like different geek podcasts, the Gods of Geek podcast, comic book podcasts, sci-fi podcasts, a bunch of different things. And it just started because that was what I was to people. Even my friends, Tangent was like my nickname, and to me, like that's what I wanted to be, because that's who I am. I'm my given name is not me. It's not who I am, but Tangent says a lot about my character. And so that's kind of what I wanted to put out there for people. As far as keeping everything private, there is this very small group of people that's let in on, who I am and a little bit more about my life. But that is a like three or four people. And it's just because of the fact that I try and stay out of personal things with people until I know that there's someone that I would want to get personal with. I want to make sure that, this is someone that I can trust, I guess. And that I know is going to appreciate me for who I am and not just try and. There are a lot of people out there that use people for what they need, and that, it's just I don't want to get personal like that with people and then end up getting stabbed in the back. And I try and it's also an image thing too. It's just I think keeping a little bit of a mysterious image kind of adds to something to who you are. You can be a totally public figure, or you can kind of keep to yourself a little bit and then make people wonder. So, and as far as like whether or not I think that works or not, I think it works for some people and I think it doesn't for other people. It just depends on your personality. I think if a quieter person was trying to do this, people would just not even know they were there.
Right. So this has nothing to do with like privacy or security or anything like that.
No, but it is nice to some extent. I mean, there are certain things, I don't want tons of people out there to go through my personal life. I don't think that would happen most of the time, but it's nice to be able to put like my PO box out there and be like, yeah, I don't have to worry. Who cares? Like I can put my email address out there and not even worry. I whatever. I don't care about giving away the personal information that I've set aside to do that with. Whereas like KYT's not going to be like, here's my home address, send me this, and just put it right out there on Twitter like I do. Because I don't care if I get people spamming my post office box with garbage. Who cares? It's nice to be able to have that, discretion as to whether or not I want to invite you into my personal life or not.
That was something I've struggled with since I've gotten bigger as a show is that I'm a very open person by nature. I am TMI girl. That's just who I am in my personal life, in my family life. That's sort of the role that I fill. I'm the girl who says the things that nobody else will. And it's, did she just
Right.
say that? I did. And I've really struggled with that as I've gotten bigger because when no one's listening to you, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
But,
first.
you know, as I've acquired bigger followers and more followers, it's not that I'm trying to change who I am necessarily, but I feel like it puts it more in perspective. Like
Yeah.
for example, when Helene Bergio started following me, I was like, "Don't say anything stupid, Erin. Do not say anything stupid. She's Helene Bergio. She's only following 130 people. You are one of them. Don't fuck this up." And
Right.
that made me a little more conscious of that. And I think the fact that I have to actually see these people has made me want to reevaluate that too. Because again, I played World of Warcraft for a while, so my following, I was most likely never going to meet. But I am seeing these people at events and I am seeing them at conventions and I am having to really own up to what I've said. And I would own up to it anyways, but it's a little different when someone's opening salvo with, "So, you're the girl who does nothing but podcast and masturbate." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's kind of me. Can we move on, please?" You know, and I'm
Yeah,
having to really own
exactly.
it a lot more. So I've
Right.
become a lot more cognizant of that too. And also the fact that I tend to underestimate how like devoted people can be to you. Like, for example, I'm single. I'm newly single. I made a comment that I had a dating profile on a dating site, and I was
Okay.
very surprised to find that I had a couple listeners who found my profile.
Yep.
And I don't mean, and I'm fairly sure they didn't mean it in any sort of malicious way. Like, I'm fairly sure that there was no, it wasn't like they wanted to like put lotion on me and wear me as a coat or anything. But it did
Right.
surprise me that people would be that interested in me that the initial reaction to reading that I have a dating profile is, "Let's go look for it." I don't think of that. Like, if you were to tell me that you were on Plenty of Fish, it would be like, "Oh, I hope Tangent has a lot of luck with that." I wouldn't immediately be like, "I should go look for him. He's kind of cute." I wouldn't think to do that. And maybe it's just a sign of our culture. I don't know. But it did surprise me. And it did make me go, "Okay, do I have to not admit that I have a dating profile? Do I even get to have one?" Like, I've never had to struggle with that
Right.
before. And Jack LaCroix or LaCroix, my good friend, he had
Right.
DM'd me and was like, you know, he was very firm about, "This is why you don't put your name out there. This is why you don't do these things." And I was like, is that the trade-off though? Like, why can't I be open and still be popular?" And I've been wrestling with it a lot lately, more than usual.
Well, I think everyone has some, again, some kind of private life once you get into a certain level of media or any kind of entertainment business or whatever. Once you're like a public figure of any kind, you need to try and do certain things to try and keep yourself private. I'll put myself like I'll go to a tournament. You know, I've had people those people that try and start a fight with you online or whatever and say you're hiding behind a name, and it's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I am Tangent. I'm not screen name 101, whatever, right? Like, this is me, and you'll see me at an event. And if you want to come start something with me, then you'll find me there because I wear a shirt that says Tangent and has a picture of me on it. Okay, like, that's me. So
You really wear a
you'll
shirt with
find.
a picture of yourself?
Well, technically, the shirt has a picture of me wearing a shirt with a picture of me on it.
That's
So.
so meta.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I have a hat that says Tangent, if you couldn't figure it out from the shirt. And that's just the way that I roll, I guess. I'm not like I'll put myself out there. I just don't want you to know about my personal life. Like, I don't ever want to find out that someone was, stalking a family member because of something I said on a podcast. I don't want you to know where I work. I work with a good deal of money in any given day, and I don't really want people to find out about that sort of thing, And this is it's just there's certain reasons why I like to keep it, and not I mean there is the mystery of it, but there's a lot of like safety concerns too, and just in general, I think it's a little bit cooler. I mean, I'm being Tangent. That's what I am. But at the same time, like, everyone who hears Tangent that's heard of me knows that I'm Tangent. Unlike some of the people, like, there are times when podcasters will be like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. And I talked with you a while ago. And it's like, I try my hardest to remember everyone. But, like, there's only so many, like, Josh Smiths that I can keep in my brain, right? Like it's
So does that mean you're going to forget about me 2 months from now?
I think you've made enough of an impact on the community to where I'll be able to remember, but it is hard in general. Like sometimes even podcasters, if you're listening to them, you're like, okay, that's Todd, but there's a Todd on the other show. Is that this Todd, or is that, you're trying to keep the name straight in your head, but like, and I don't know, like Robert originally was the Beamy when he was on Manuscrewed, and he still got the Beamy as his like Twitter handle, but like he eventually switched to Robert because he was getting more involved in like Men of Magic and things like that. And that's why where Roberto came about, and why he used to make KYT laugh all the time when I call him Roberto, because it was like I wasn't willing to call him his real name regardless of, because I knew him as the Beamy. That's what I always called him. And so once he switched to Robert, I was just like, okay, Roberto. That's all and so I just called him that all the time. It's
That's
like giving
awesome.
people a hard time about silly stuff like that too. So,
I think the thing with me is as long as I'm in control of it, I'm happy. Like I'm an open person when I decide that I'm going to be an open person. Like everything I show people is what I want you to see.
Yeah, which is good.
I think what made me so weirded out about the OkCupid thing was I didn't necessarily want people to see that. I was fine with
Right.
people knowing I had a dating profile, but there's a reason I didn't link that profile. There's a reason that I made sure my username was radically different than anything I've ever used before, so that it wasn't obvious it was me. It was the
Right.
fact that somebody did it without my control or my consent, where I was like, I didn't want you to see this. And now I really don't give a crap, where it's like, if you really want to see what I'm looking for in a guy, go look for it. Like, it's not that serious, but
I'll just post it here for you so you can see exactly what I'm looking for, okay?
but it was just the fact that it was out of my hands. And I think going back to what you said about people like Kevi or like Jeebus, where you can be one way but still have like a gooey inside, if you will. For as open as I am, there are things I do keep to myself. Like I'm like you, people. I don't tell people where I work. People know I work for a bank. I never said which bank. I will never say which bank. When I was breaking up with my boyfriend, I never aired that out on Twitter. I don't even think I told people we had broken up initially. For as open as I can be and for as loud as I can be, there are some secrets I can keep. For example, I knew Medina was leaving MTG as of Saturday and I didn't say anything. So I can be trusted to keep things to myself. It's just I decide what goes out there and what doesn't. And when
For a few
someone,
days at least,
right.
right?
And then when someone, if somebody else takes that away from me, that's when I get weirded out, because it's like, I didn't approve this. Like, what's going on? And
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as long as you're in control. And it is weird because that's the world is a scary place when it comes right down to it. I mean, there are those people that will do some crazy shit. You know what I mean? And 90% of the time, that's not going to be the case. Maybe 99% of the time, but there's going to be that 1% of the time where someone's a freaking creep and does something weird. I haven't had any experiences like that, but you being a woman would be more likely to encounter that, I'm sure, especially when you have people like creeping your social network, or I mean your dating profile or whatever. That's something different, but I mean it's cool. You just gotta watch your own back every once in a while and make sure that you're taking the precautions. But I don't think that most of the people in this community are out to hurt anyone. They're just, I don't know, I think they all want to be a part of it. Like they hear your voice, and they even though you don't know them, they feel like they know you. That's
That's always something I'm constantly surprised about, the more I do this show, is where people take you. People will be like, I had one guy who was like, I guess he does a lot of driving, or he was doing some traveling, and he was like, I don't travel unless I'm listening to your show. And I was like, oh, that's really sweet. Or you get people that will take you to the gym or whatever. And I'm always surprised at the impact that your show can have on somebody, because I don't think about it like that. I don't go into it going, I'm touching lives today. No, I'm talking shit with Tangent, and You never think about that. Or even people, like I've had people listen to my show from episode one all the way through. And at that rate, people will really think they know you. And that's great. I'm not poo-pooing that at all. But it's just, like I said, it's really easy to not think about the impact you have when you do something like this. And people do get attached to you, and people do, relate to you, and people do, feel like they know you, and that's cool. I guess it's just something I'm not used to yet, and I have to get
No.
used to that.
Yeah, it's interesting actually that you say that because I mean I don't know if you listen to the A Team at
I
all,
do.
but okay, so you heard not that long ago that they were having this "Is it worth it?" conversation. And I have a feeling that like once you brought up the Medina situation, I was kind of wondering if some of it didn't go back to that. I'm obviously there's some serious situation that I don't know yet that I'll read about, but
You'll be up for a while.
yeah. But overall, the one of the things I don't like about the fact Medina is walking away is, I even thought about writing an article after that podcast just to say that, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's worth it because sometimes you don't know who's your friend, you don't know whether or not the game is worth it. You've got all these real life things. But for someone that's made an impact on the community, like especially when you've done like what Medina has or what the A Team or anyone who's been around for a really long time and has just tons of listeners or followers or whatever, one of the things you don't understand is how much of an impact that you're making on their life. Like it's not just one of these things where, yeah, I listened to you at the gym and like you were saying, like there are people that give you credit and tell you, yeah, I'd love to have your show on when I'm driving or whatever. Well, there are people that it's just like you are a reason for them to get up on Monday morning. You know what I mean? For like you give them something to look forward to. You inspire them. You are this voice that's become their friend, whether you know it or not. And I hate to see someone like Medina who like he is one of those people for me. Like even if I didn't consider Medina a friend, he's one of these people that I respect so much of what he's done, despite the fact that there are a lot of people that don't like certain things that he's done. Like I respect what he's done. I like hearing him. I like his certain values and things like that that he upholds. And I just he's one of those people I'll be really disappointed to not be able to hear. So I can imagine that there are tons of fans out there that feel the same way. Like this guy, whether jokingly, you give him a hard time and talk about what a chump he is or, whatever, but at the same or what a thief he is, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But in the end, so many people love the guy that for him to just be gone is it's a really devastating thing for the community, The people don't really realize that in doing this, we're actually helping people. We're building the community and we're touching people's lives in a way that, we don't even really understand until and a lot of the times it's the vocal major I mean the majority is not the vocal minority. It's the majority is the people that sit back and just listen and just appreciate and don't ever say anything. And those people, you actually put like a dent in their life if you just all of a sudden walk away from it.
And I think that's part of the reason why people reacted the way they did. Like, without going into it too much, a lot of people blamed Heather for him leaving for various reasons. And
Oh, ouch.
yeah, and I feel like a lot of people that did that, I really don't think it was they had anything against her. I just feel like they were upset, they were sad, they were confused, and that was the way that they sort of channeled their feelings about him leaving. And I'm not saying that was the right way to channel it, and that was not the right way to deal with it, but that's what people had to do, and that's what people did in the heat of the moment to express their displeasure with that. And it was very shocking to see that happen because she got a lot of flack for it, and she didn't deserve it. And I feel like a lot of that is blown over, but as it was happening and as it was unfolding, I was sort of able to see it for what it was, where, on the surface, it would look like she was getting a DM saying, you whore, how could you let this happen? But I was able to sort of look at it and be like, this person is bummed. They're really bummed about this and they don't know what to do. And this is the only way that they can feel like they can move on from this or like they can cope. So like I said, it wasn't that I was dismissing it necessarily, but I didn't have the same reaction as other people, where people were like, you know, this community is falling apart and let's go after them. And I was like, I get it. I'm not saying it's right, but I get it. And eventually they will understand, and it will not always be like this, but for now, this is what it is. And
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know. This is, I'm still blown away by this whole thing, to be honest with you. I can't, it's shocking to me. So I don't know. I've gotta email the guy as soon as I figure this all out.
Way to take over my show, boss.
Yeah.
So I
Yeah,
know we
rip.
did say we were going to talk about standard a little bit, but I do feel like we've had a really good discussion just on, you know, the scene, and I think that's enough for me. So if people enjoy what you said today, Tangent, or they enjoy you in general, where can they find you?
They can find me at tangentrevolution.com. My information's there, but just for people that are lazy like me, they can email me at tangent@tangentrevolution.com, or more, I guess, more commonly, tangentdyn on Twitter, or on Magic Online, tangentdyn also.
Now, do you have a store on the website where we can buy those lovely tangent hats and t-shirts?
There will be eventually. Yeah, I actually gave Kevy a hard time saying, yeah, I just purchased one of your guys' shirts. Why don't you have one of mine yet? And he's like, I want one of the ones with Tangent with a picture of you, with a picture of you on it. And I gotta have that. I'm like, well, as soon I was a little shocked that he wanted that one. I thought maybe he was just gonna want a Tangent Revolution shirt, but he actually wants the one with me, with a picture of me wearing a shirt with a picture of me on it. So
I want
I
a
gotta see what I
tangent
can
mouse
do.
pad just so I can like run my mouse over you every day, and
There you
that could
go.
mean a number of things, folks. Let's just leave it at that. But
Nice. Very nice.
I've
Yeah.
actually thought
Well,
about that myself. You know, I've had people, you know, say things to me. Like one of the phrases that I sort of coined was, I play a lot of two-headed giant, and I came up with the phrase the limpy gazelle, because sometimes in a lot of two-headed giant pairings, there's that one person who's drastically weaker than the other,
oh, yeah, for
and I call that person the limpy gazelle. And one of my listeners was like, you should totally make a t-shirt that says, I am the limpy gazelle.
You should.
And I know. And then there was another one of my other listeners was like, you know, you should make a show that was like, I got teased, or something like that, or whatever. And I was like, okay. But I wonder, am I big enough for that yet? Like, I don't want people to think I'm ahead of myself. Like, who's this bitch think she is making t-shirts? Like, she's somebody, you know, like, I
No,
don't want.
you are. And the thing that's awesome, I don't know if you've seen the things like oh God, who is it? I don't know if Mana Deprived's done it or not, but Heavy Mud has done it multiple times. The t-shirt thing that they have set up there, you can just like get your t-shirt going, and if the order quantity isn't met, then they just won't print it. It's not like you have to invest in a ton of shirts, right? So, I mean, it's a really awesome thing that you can do. That's how I'm going to be doing mine, because I don't want to buy $200, $300, $400 worth of t-shirts. If, you know, I mean, yeah, I can give them away for sure, but I don't want to make that investment. I'd rather have people just be like, oh yeah, I'll buy a shirt. And then, you know, once the order's met, then it'll get sent out or whatever. You have like a deadline or whatever, and then it gets sent out, and I mean, you'll be able to sell enough for sure. You've got enough of a following, and people, and you, like you just said, people are like recommending these things, so that you'll definitely get people wanting your shirts.
I suppose.
I'm
So
telling you, I'm
we'll have to
telling
have
you.
like competing Kickstarters. It'll be awesome.
That's an
Just
awesome idea for sure. You'd be surprised. There's so many people that like get into stuff. Those sign in blood mats that are super popular right now and everything,
I
like,
just ordered mine the other day.
yeah, those were unknown until just recently, basically, and now they're like a huge hit, right? And he's had them for a while. It's just they had to get recognized and noticed and supported by people that have kind of a voice or whatever, you know.
Same thing with Puka Trade. That was something else that I'd never heard
Yeah.
of, and it was only when I couldn't escape it anymore that I finally caved and made my own. And I was like, "Oh, we'll see what this is about." And
Yep.
now it's like I find myself at work, like hitting refresh, like send a card. Somebody has to have a card. I have a card. You want my card? And then like it's a really big deal for me. And
That's pretty sweet. I thought about getting involved in that. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, but it's a cool idea for sure.
It's a lot of fun. I feel like it gives me insight into the fact that people, when you're trading, you always assume that people are going to want like your good stuff, and
Right.
you might not want to trade with somebody because you think you have nothing they want. But I've had people go after like, I put most of my rares up there, and most of the rares that I've sent out to people were the rares that I didn't think anybody would want. Like I had somebody that was like, I want your Chancellor of the Anax, and I'm like, okay. And I had one guy that was like, I want your Chaos Imps, and I'm like, done. So it's a really good way to like, give people these cards, and it's nice to see people using cards, and maybe they're doing it for their cubes or for their EDHs, and or maybe
Right.
even their moderns or whatever, and just, all these uses you wouldn't think of. And it does make you feel good to know that you have things that people actually want, because Lord knows I've looked at my binder and I'm like, I couldn't give this stuff away, and here
But
I am.
apparently you can Puka trade it away, so there you go.
Exactly,
Yeah,
exactly. So
that's cool.
this was a lot of fun, Tangent. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And if you ever have a show that you're on and you have room for me, I hope that I can maybe come crash your party someday.
I will definitely have you on. That would be awesome. It was a good time. Thanks.
Yeah, and if anyone else is listening and you've enjoyed the deck tease, you can always find me on legitmtg.com. After that, you can find me, of course, on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to download the show and leave me a positive review. If you have any feedback for me, you can always find me on Twitter at Original Estrus. That's ORIGINALOESTRUS. Or if you have some more personal feedback or just want to say hello, you can email me at estrus@elitestrix.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and behave yourselves, okay? Bye.